C6, number 11A.
We come to the chapter Physiology, and we are just wondering what this chapter may bring. And you see, we already had animal magnetism, where we could see that science has the power to despoil the kingdom of evil. Then the next chapter, Science, Theology, and Medicine, said, truth is that power which can cast out evil. And now, in the next chapter, Physiology, you get another sense of power. What kind of power do you think we get here in Physiology, where we see that in the chapter on Physiology, evil is brought to nothing? It shows that the only power evil has is to destroy itself. Look here how she said it. There are only a few references, and all say the same thing. She said, the only power of evil is to destroy itself. Evil betrays its weakness and falls never to rise. Falsehood strips evil of all pretension. Can you see how evil just falls to pieces? Just as the chapter on Physiology, and anyway the first part, shows that. So here we get the sense that the only power evil has is to destroy itself. Okay, let's perhaps put down as an epitome, the only power of evil, the only power of evil, is to destroy itself. But then you can ask yourself, but how does that happen? Why doesn't it happen every time? Why does it only happen when you understand good? And so the chapter on Footsteps of Truth comes along and says that actually only then, when you understand good, that destroys the power of evil. You see? That comes in understanding. Like Physiology, that we see that the only power evil has is to destroy itself. But when does that happen? When does that happen, that evil destroys itself? It happens every time we understand good. Isn't that very logical? So, in Footsteps of Truth, we have all those references which show that really good is the power that destroys the power of evil, that the good is mightier than the power of evil. It's all about that. Evil is not supreme, you see. Evil is not mightier than good. Actually, always a negative statement we can put into a positive statement. That is allowed, that's legitimate in metaphysics. But evil is not the master of good. Can you hear? Always a sense, the power of evil is not bigger than the power of good. Therefore, she finishes and says, God is of purer eyes than to behold evil. Giving in this way a sense that beholding good, understanding good, discerning good, is really that power which destroys evil. So we can perhaps put in here, discernment. We are in the 8th chapter. Yes. Oh, you didn't understand the word. Well, I said discernment or understanding of God, good, destroys the power of evil. You have that. All right. Now, when we go through the whole vertical, and try to find a common denominator for this whole vertical, I think you feel at once that in every epitome we have here, there is a power sense in it, very definitely. So that in the positive sense, perhaps we can epitomize the whole vertical, the Christ here, as the power of truth, the power of truth destroys evil. The power of truth destroys evil. Now, if we look at those two epitomes on the I index, we already begin to see some flow. You see, in the word we had that evil must be mastered. How must it be mastered? Through the Christ. Truth masters that evil. Truth is the power that destroys evil. And you have a very simple flow. And can you see that the result is always very simple? See, that's always a sign of deep scientificalness, when things become very simple. Yes. All right. So let's go on to the next vertical, to the Christianity vertical, and we come to the chapter on creation. And we are quite interested or intrigued to think what on earth could Mrs. Eddy teach us here. And when I read you the three passages here, you will see that they are, so to say, put in the negative, but naturally then we are allowed to put it into the positive. But look here how absolutely different the tone again is here. Here she says, for instance, carnal beliefs make men produce evil. Creation makes men produce evil when he would create good. Like Paul, he always complained that when he wanted to do something good, he always made something evil. The good he wanted to do, he didn't do, but the evil he didn't want to do, that he did. That's here what he's saying. Now, the same tone you have in the next reference, the sinner makes his own hell by doing evil. Again, you can see he creates his own hell, his own evil world. He says, aiding evil with evil would deceive the very elect. And you see, all three are in the negative, meaning that evil can use man to create more evil. Now, to put that into the positive, we would say that we should not let ourselves be used by evil to create evil. That we should not let ourselves be used as the creator of evil. That's put more into the positive. In this way we handle evil, by not letting ourselves be used by evil. We handle it. It's a completely different attitude again. That in the measure as we don't let ourselves be used as a channel for creating evil, we don't let that happen. If we reject that, then we certainly are mastering evil. We are dealing and handling evil. So we could perhaps put it down as an epitome and say, mortals must not let themselves, mortals must not let themselves be used. Oh, sorry. Mortals, I want to put it into the positive. Mortals must let themselves be used by good instead of by evil. You see here a very active sense of handling evil by letting ourselves be used and using good. So by using good, we do not just use good, we handle evil, because we can't do both together. We come to the next chapter, the science of being. It's a long chapter, and therefore it is a bit difficult for you to listen into the tone. Perhaps I give you first the tone, the epitome, so to say, so that you can listen then if the references substantiate really the epitome. I think we could write here as an epitome the demonstration of the somethingness of good demonstrates the nothingness of evil. Do you see the subject here? That here again we handle evil. In making evil nothing, how? By demonstrating the somethingness of good. Again, a very active sense. You know that Christianity is using, using, using is one of the terms for Christianity. Here it is showing, use the demonstration of the somethingness of good. And if you demonstrate the somethingness of good, then you demonstrate at the same time the nothingness of evil. It is both sides of the coin that are shown here. Again, we see something that handling evil does not mean to fight with evil like hell. Handling evil means using good, demonstrating good. That's the way she handles the claim. Now, listen to a few of the references that always bring out the reality, the somethingness of good, which is at the same time the nothingness of evil. Jesus' demonstration unfolded what? The unreality, the nothingness of evil. It says the triumphs of Christian Science are recorded, the triumphs of Christian Science are recorded in the destruction of evil. Christian Science brings to light what? The entireness of good and the nothingness of evil. You see how it always, when you demonstrate the good, you demonstrate the nothingness of evil. Evil is destroyed by the sense of good. Having the true idea of good loses all sense of evil. You hear the tone? Huh? Evil is destroyed through what? Through understanding divine science. Forsaking the unreal, we fully understand what? The unreality of evil. So always you have a sense that if we lose the unreality, if we therefore make something of the good, that demonstrates the nothingness of evil. You get to hear the tone. Huh? Again, it's that tone where we can see that an idea dissolves illusions, as we had as an epitome in the science, in the textbook matrix. Huh? And here again, adapted to the problem of evil, says, well, the using of good, the demonstration of good, the demonstration of the idea of good brings about what? We lose the sense of evil. Or evil is seen as nothing, or anything like that. Yes. Do I go on too quickly? No, it's all right. We come to the next chapter, some objections answered. Here, you get a completely different attitude again, as we never had before. Here, more or less, she wants to say that we handle evil by seeing that God is never involved in the question of evil. That God is never mingled up with evil. That is, that God has no hand in the question of evil. For instance, you see that she always says, she speaks here of the impossibility of good to produce evil. I deny God's cooperation with evil. To deny that God made evil and made evil good. God cannot dwell in evil. You hear it. Every statement practically has that relationship of God, good, and evil, saying God, good, is in no way mixed up in any way with the question of evil. Therefore, we handle evil again by seeing that God is not mixed up in that question, that God is not involved in the question of evil, that God is something quite outside, quite pure, and again, do you see the correlation with the textbook matrix, where we have seen really that the moment there is no more any objections, you have demonstration. Therefore, the moment no evil enters, no false concept enters pure reflection, you have demonstration. And therefore here adapted to the question of handling evil, it says, well, God is not mixed up with that whole question of evil. He's so completely out of that whole question. Shall we perhaps pinpoint it by saying, denying that God is denying that God is involved in evil. Yes? God just has nothing to do with evil. She never said that before. See? She never said that before. She didn't say that in prayer, nor in the Solemn Eucharist, nor anywhere. She just said, you know, you handle the question of evil very easily when you see that God is in no way involved in the question of evil. He does not cooperate with evil. He does not produce evil. He is just not involved there. A pure reflection. That the point of pure reflection. Yes. Then comes Christian Science practice. And it's interesting that though Christian Science practice deals with all kinds of evil and is a very long chapter, there are practically no references on this question. Isn't it quite amazing? Quite amazing. There are, I mean, in the way of how she uses the term evil and how to handle the question of evil. What she shows here is that if we, so to say, avail ourselves of the supremacy of good, that this causes evil to disappear. That's naturally practice. We can see the correlation here with the chapter on practice very easily, that by availing ourselves or understanding really the supremacy of good, that this causes evil to disappear. So, in order to bring evil to disappear, she says, you must increase your ability to master evil. Resist evil, and it will flee from you. That we have to avail ourselves of the supremacy of God, of good over evil. Again, the using. Seems as if all these chapters are really have really that Christianity touch of using good as so as to bring evil to disappear. We haven't made an epitome. Well, you can say an understanding of the supremacy of good causes evil to disappear. Yes. So again, we can ask ourselves, how would it be possible to summarize these Christianity chapters? And I think what we will see is, in every one of these chapters, that somehow she shows, first of all, that here we demonstrate really something. What do we demonstrate? It's always that you put more weight on the good than on the evil. I would say we could perhaps summarize it by saying, well, the demonstration of the superiority of good over evil. The demonstration of the superiority of good over evil. You see, did you finish? No. You see, for instance, compare this epitome here for Christianity with the Word as Christianity. And then you see the big difference, though the terms seem to be very similar. In marriage, we had the good must have ascendancy over evil. But there it was not the demonstration of it. Can you see? Though it was the ascendancy or the superiority, it was not yet the demonstration of it and showing how to demonstrate it. Whereas the whole Christianity vertical gives us the way to demonstrate that superiority of good over evil. So here is a very nice example, for instance, how a subject that has appeared here in marriage as the word as Christianity already indicates or introduces the main tone of what will appear then as the vertical, as the whole vertical of Christianity, to show that evil can be handled and demonstrated by the superiority of good over evil. So, if we run quickly down this Christianity vertical, we can see, all right, now how are we going to demonstrate the superiority of good over evil? And the very first thing in creation we have to know is that we don't let ourselves be used by evil, or we cannot demonstrate the superiority of good over evil. Isn't it nice? That is the very first thing. We never think of that we shouldn't let ourselves be used by evil, but that we should use good instead of evil. Then, when we have seen that, signs of being shows that therefore we must demonstrate the somethingness of good, and only by demonstrating the somethingness of good can the nothingness of evil be demonstrated. We cannot demonstrate the nothingness of evil, just as that. We just would have a vacuum. We must first fill our vessels and say, all right, I demonstrate that good is really something. If I do that, then I demonstrate at the same time that evil is nothing. And in doing that, I must see that good is never in any way involved in the question of evil. That he has not his hands in it. That there is no bridge between God and evil. So that we deny all the objections that say, well, God knows evil, God produces evil, God uses evil, God cooperates with evil, God uses evil as a medium, or anything like that. We just make a clear cut and see that it has nothing to do with evil. And therefore, in the Christian Science practice, we see that if we understand the supremacy of God good, that really causes evil to disappear. It has an effect.